pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's begin reading in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's a pretty flattering thing to say, wasn't it? I appreciate Nicodemus's respect for our Lord. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to talk to you today about being born again. If you're here and you've been born again, then you know everything I'm about to say. Amen? If you've been born again, you're aware of that. You understand it. But before you were born again, or if you've never been born again today, you may be like Nicodemus, where he says very simply in verse 4, How can a man be born when he is old? And according to human logic, Nicodemus is right, isn't he? I mean, how can I be born if I'm old? And Nicodemus goes so far to say, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now that seems a little silly, doesn't it? And it paints a picture that we probably don't want to think about in our brains. But in response to just literally what Jesus is saying to him here, Nicodemus asked the right questions. And you may be here today. You know, we use this term, born again, pretty regularly around the church. In fact, it has even become sort of a by phrase on TV and in the movies and things like that. You know, I don't want to pick on anybody's favorite ball team, but we could say the let's just use the Volunteers, UT Vols. Nobody likes them, right? We could say the UT Vols need to be born again this year. They've had a few bad years, but they've got their coach broke in. They've got some good recruits, and this might be the year that they're born again. Now, we would never say that as Christians, but you might watch ESPN, and they may say something like that. You may say that some superstar, whether it's a musician or whoever they are, they just fell off the face of the earth. They were popular, then they lost it, but then they had a comeback song or whatever it was, and then they might say that they were born again. And we use that term just kind of loosely. And in a church setting, we may misunderstand or forget or not even know what we're really talking about when we say, can you be born again? I remember as a young person, I was at summer camp, and I'd always been in church my whole life. I mean, I was just one of these kids who, you know, like my new baby Thomas, from the day I was born, we were in church. I knew all the terminology. I knew all the lingo. You know the funny thing about all that was? I didn't know the Savior. I knew all the right things. But I remember at that church camp, we were having devotion one night, and the counselor said to us, hopefully you've been saved. And he wasn't saying born again. He was using the word saved. And I remember he said, can anybody tell me about when you got saved? And this guy raised his hand and is just as straightforward and as sincere as he knew how. He said, well, I got saved today. And boy, we were kind of excited about that. And he said, I was in the swimming pool and I was going under and I couldn't swim. And the lifeguard came and got me and pulled me out and I got saved. right? He was right. He got saved. But the counselor wasn't talking about physically his body being saved. The counselor was saying, have you ever been spiritually saved? Do you ever think about that maybe someone who's not like you, who's not a Christian, maybe they don't really get when we say, have you been saved? Have you been born again? Are you a Christian? So that's what I want to talk to you today about, is being born again. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to help you to understand what the Word of God means about being born again. Nicodemus was a smart man. Nicodemus was no doubt a wealthy man. Nicodemus was a leader among his people. And still, at the place he had achieved in his life, this was something new to him. It was something he wasn't aware of or understand. And Jesus spoke plainly and easily to him and explained it. And that's what I want to do for you today. Begin by asking you this. If someone that you knew, someone that you trusted, someone that when their caller ID rings on your phone, you're aware of who it is and you'll take that call. If they called you up today and in a sort of a frantic voice said, your life is in danger, I need you to listen to me very closely. The only chance you have of survival is, and then you just heard a buzz on the other end, the dial tone, the bump, 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 bump. What would you do there? Can you imagine if that were to happen? I mean, if they were not somebody playing a joke, not someone you didn't know, a prank call, but I mean, if it were somebody you really knew and you really trusted, and they were saying that to you, can you imagine if that were to happen? Would you immediately call them back? I would. I'd hit redial just as fast as I could and try to get them on the other end of the line there. And I would worry. I would try to figure out what it is that's endangering my life. If I were driving, I'd stop. If I were at home, I'd start locking the doors. Would you do this? Am I the only warrior in the house this morning? I mean, that's exactly how I'd react. I'm so happy this morning that we read John 3, all of Scripture, that there is no dial tone on the other end. So happy that it doesn't say you can die and go to hell without saying unless you get saved. So happy that it doesn't say you're a sinner without saying, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I'm glad that there's an end to that phone call, so to speak. But despite that, many have still never been saved, never accepted Christ, never become a Christian, never gotten themselves saved from an eternal hell and a separation from God, never been sure that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. I wanted you to ask yourself this. Normally I ask you to ask yourself questions at the end of the sermon. But if you would just clear your mind for just a moment, I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want you to look at the person next to you. You can look at the floor. You can look at your Bible. You can look at the ceiling. You can close your eyes. But in your brain right now, I want you to ask yourself and answer honestly, have I ever been born again? Think about that. Have you ever been born again? Am I a Christian? Am I saved? Whatever term you want to use for it. Has this ever happened in your life? And now I want to preach to you about that subject today, being born again. And begin, just like Nicodemus asked, what is being born again? Verse 3, very clearly, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I want to see the kingdom of God someday. Do you?
Amen.
I don't want my life to end with darkness, black and a grave or whatever you think of the end of life is. I want to go to heaven. Amen. I want to meet Jesus. I want to see my grandmother and grandfather who've already passed over into heaven. I want there to be more to it. And Jesus said in verse 3, what is being born again? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want that, but what does born again mean? What is that terminology? The word again here is where we'll focus this morning because we understand what being born means. The word again in the Greek is anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N. A couple meanings we'll look at here this morning where it's used in this passage. The first is to start over from the beginning. Have you ever just wanted to start over from the beginning? Now, growing up, when I was, I don't know how old I was a young guy, like 5, 6, 7 years old. The stores started selling this thing called a Nintendo Entertainment System. Anybody? NES. Then they had a Super Nintendo, then all these others. And now the kids play a Wii. That's the thing, now they play a Wii. Or an Xbox. Thought I might hear an amen from the front row there. But it had two buttons on the front. It had power and reset. My sister and I, we'd fight over the NES. She was playing and I wanted to play. I could make her really mad all of a sudden. I could walk by that and hit that reset button. And that was before, I guess, the people who made video games had figured out how to save your game. Now you can save your game for years. And you, anybody else in this boat, you'd hit reset and you'd start all over again. We'd play a game called The Legend of Zelda. And it had multi-levels. Some of you, I'm getting grins and waking you up now. Good to see you. We're glad you're at church. Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't really care. It had a lot of levels, and it took a long time to play this game. It wasn't like an hour. It was like a week. I'd have that NES turned on night and day. If it turned off, it reset your game. It was awful. And man, it never failed. Mom would come in and say, I wish they wouldn't leave this on. Bam. Start over from the beginning. So in video games, I didn't like that. But aren't you glad in life that there's that point you can come to as a sinner and you get saved, you're born again, and you get to start over from the beginning?
Amen.
That's what we read here when we read that word, born again. Again, start over from the beginning. We just finished baseball. Some of you are still in baseball and softball, and I'm praying for you. I'm happy to be done. Don't mean to rub it in your face, but I'm happy to be done. It takes a long time. But can you imagine if you're a baseball player, and here comes the pitch, and smack, you hit the ball, and it's a home run. And you cross in the bases, and you miss first base, but then you get second and third and home, and you get back over the dugout, and you're so excited, you hit a home run, but the umpire says, you're out. You miss first base. And it happens like that, doesn't it? I mean, that's exactly, if you miss a base, if it's in play, they got to catch you. But if you hit a home run, you're out. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't you want to go back over to the umpire and say, listen, I'll run the bases again. Never hit a home run before, and I'd like to. So here, I'm going to start at home, and I'm going to go, and I'll touch first. I promise I'll get it this time. Would he allow you to do that? No, you wouldn't get to start over. You'd be out. That's sort of a radical thing to ask. Can you imagine the other team, if he allowed you to go back again and get that run where you were actually out? Oh, they'd be angry with you over that. That's the meaning we see conveyed here by being born again. Well, you can't do that in baseball. A lot of times you can't really do that in life. With God, you can start over from the beginning. Praise God for being born again. A completely clean slate, a fresh start, a new beginning. Are you here today burdened with the weight of your guilt? If you're here today and you're saved, you remember what it was like to be burdened with the weight of your guilt. And I want to say to you today, I'm sure we have someone here, probably a few that are not saved. You don't need not be, let me start that over. You need not feel embarrassed for where you are. We were all in that shape at one point or another. I remember being burdened with the weight of my guilt, thinking everybody in here, if they found out that I was lost, a sinner, not saved, would think bad of me. But it was just the opposite.
That's right.
It was almost like a parade after that. Maybe only in my mind, but I prayed about right here in the church I was in, and my friends were lined up. It was after youth group on a Wednesday night. My friends were lined up over here on this aisle, and I thought, now if I get up from here and say that I just got saved, they're all going to kind of snicker and make fun of me. It wasn't like that.
That's right.
I walked out, and I was headed to the back door to go find my mother. Mom's the first person you got to know when her son gets saved. And I remember walking down through there, and in my mind, it was almost like they were going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Chance finally got saved. And that's really not how it happened, but in my mind it was. They were so happy. They were saying, man, we're glad you got saved. But you may be here today burdened down with the weight of your guilt. Maybe you're here today and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you find yourself wishing for a new beginning. The first of the year rolls around. Man, I'm happy to see January the 1st. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. The things I didn't do last year, I'm going to do them this year. I knuckle down and I'm dead set on I'm going to do it this year. Be a better person, a better man, a better father, a better husband. Be better at my job. I'm going to drive the speed limit this year. Did that cut out my fried chicken? Do y'all do that? I do that.
Yeah, right.
Not cross double lines and pass people. I decide I'm going to do things different this year than I did last year. Do y'all do that? But then about this time every year, the things I haven't done, I feel guilty about it. I think, man, I wish I could go back to January. I'm going to read more this year. And you get to July, and those books you bought are just collecting dust, It's like, I didn't do it. Jesus came to earth to give mankind that opportunity. He came to earth so that you could start over from the beginning, be born again. You can be born again. The word again here is also used in this passage, this anathen, from above. See, there's something different about getting help earthly versus getting help from above.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing that I can do for you anywhere close to what Jesus can do for you.
Amen.
There's nothing anyone can do for you anywhere close to what Jesus can do for you. Not only can you be born again with a fresh start, but you can also be born from above. If you read on down in chapter 3 here, we'll just take a look quickly at verse 31. We read about the one who is from above. John said in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. I'm glad to get some help outside of what man can do for me.
Amen.
And I appreciate what you can do for me, and there will be times where I'll have to call on you, and I'll need your help.
Amen. That's right.
But there was a time in my life where mom couldn't help me, where dad couldn't help me. I kneeled in the altar with my youth pastor and my pastor, and at that point I realized these guys can't help me. It was an awful feeling, really, it was. I thought, if anybody can help me, the preacher can. And the preacher kind of looked at me like, what do you need? What's the matter? What's going on? And the youth pastor had brought me up there because down in our fellowship hall, I had told him, I think I need to be saved. And he said, you need to go talk to the preacher. He just didn't know I was church boy Chance. My dad was an evangelist. We set up a tent all over the state and preached to people and helped people get saved. And I was dad's tent man every night. And the youth man looked at me like, well, now I don't know. You just go see the preacher. And as I knelt there, I thought, these men can't help me.
Right.
And I closed my eyes and I prayed to God.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, well, God, I don't know if I'm saved or not. The preacher thinks I am. The youth pastor sure thinks I am. But a still small voice spoke to me, not verbally, not audibly, but I knew within my heart.
Amen. Yes.
You're not saved.
Amen.
You're not born again.
Thank you.
You've not been made a new creature. And I knew it. That's why I came down there.
Amen. That's right.
And I said, Lord, will you save me? Will you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior?
Yes.
I don't remember the exact words I prayed, but it was something along that line. And that's when that parade started.
That's right.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
Start over from the beginning. Get help from above. To be born again means to go back to the beginning and start over. It's a major change. It also means to be born from above. To be born again is not turning over a new leaf. It's not making a series of resolutions. It's not joining the church. It's not something on a human level that we do. To be born again is to be born from above. And then why be born again? What is being born again? Why be born again? Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hopefully everyone in here today was born of the flesh. Amen? Hopefully everyone in here has flesh on your body and you were born from a mother and a father somewhere in your past and that's how you came up. I don't think we're cloning humans yet or making people out of lab dishes. Maybe we are, I don't know. But from my understanding, hopefully we're all born of the flesh. And born that way, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You will feel guilty, but you need not feel like you're any different than anyone else here when I tell you that born of the flesh is flesh means you're a sinner.
That's right.
I don't look down on you like that. Makes me feel better to say you're a sinner because I'm one too.
That's right.
Romans 3:23 says very clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. I like that reiteration there. There is none righteous. Then to add on to the end there, no, not one. Not even one. There's nobody here today, none of us, that are righteous.
Amen.
You can go to some churches and some preachers will stand before you and he is righteous or she is righteous, whoever they are. They'll say, they are righteous and you're not and you need to come to them for help. I'm telling you this morning, I'm not righteous. But I've gone to him for help.
Amen.
And he's helped me. And it's from above that you can get help this morning. And I'd like to show you that. In our human state, we're sinners, even at our best. We are created by God, loved by God. But in flesh, we're separated from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty of our sin is death and separation from God for all of eternity. Now, we think heaven and hell. The Bible teaches heaven and hell.
That's right.
The rich man died in his sin, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments.
That's right.
Lazarus died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. There is a heaven, there is a hell.
That's right.
Hell is a punishment. Heaven is a place of peace. But to me, and hell is rough. And I'll be honest with you, when I got saved 11 years old, I thought of hell. But thinking about it now, I think of heaven and not heaven. I think, can you imagine going through all of eternity separated from God? You can't pray to Him. You can't see Him. You can't know Him. Never. You have no hope from there on out. I would never want to face that. I would never want you to face that.
Amen.
The missionary was here Wednesday night, and he said, think of all of time that we know of. From as far back as you've been taught that there is, all the way to now, to where you think we're going to end up before Jesus comes back. And he said, you place that into eternity, and eternity is so vast that all of time doesn't even really exist.
That's right.
And isn't that something?
Yeah.
Can you imagine for that long being separated from God? Man, it's tough. So why be born again? Yes, to have your sin forgiven. To get that fresh start and become new. I like that.
Amen.
But also to spend eternity with God.
Amen.
Your Creator.
Yes.
And I want you to know here this morning that that's not a preacher's plan. That's not this church's plan. That's not any just one church's plan. That is God's plan. In God's Bible, it was God's Son who came and gave His life for all of mankind, whosoever will, for them to be saved. It's not just something we do around here. Not something I'm trying to get you to buy into. It's not something we're trying to sell you on so you'll be here with us. Nothing like that. For all have sinned, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, we've sinned, but while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right. Yes.
That's God's plan. So how to be born again? Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 15 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you like how-to books? I enjoy how-to, but now some things I don't want to know how-to. I just don't care. I don't know why they wrote the book. But things I'm interested in, I like how-to. I assume you're interested in church and God and those kind of things, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I mean, you showed up to church on a Sunday. Good for you. So I assume you're interested in this. The Bible tells us exactly how to be saved.
Amen.
I read how-to books because I want to know how to do something. I'm getting to where now I go to how-to YouTube videos. You can how-to anything. My air conditioner wasn't working at the beginning of the summer in Old Blue. Believe it or not, Old Blue's air conditioner quit working. Can you believe that? And I got on YouTube and searched for a video, and a man showed you exactly how to fix it. My neighbor Chuck came over and said, "What in the world are you doing?" And I had my little phone up there with a YouTube video playing. And I had grease from head to toe. And the whole front end of my van pulled off right there in the yard. The bumper, the metal bumper under the plastic bumper, the radiator, all of it just pulled off. I mean, it looked like a mess that I'd never get back together again. In fact, Miss Shanae came and took one look and went back in the house. She just couldn't stomach it anymore. I could have talked her into a new car right then, I'm pretty sure. But I like how-to. Show me how to do things. In fact, it's something I want to do. You show me how to do it, I'll do it. I'm not too proud to try. The Bible tells how to be born again. Whosoever believeth in Him. Simply that. Whosoever believes doesn't perish. What does it mean to believe? It means to rely on something, to have confidence in something, to trust something. Faith in Christ is a point in our lives where we admit that we're sinners. It's a point in our lives where we know that Jesus died and rose again for us. It's a point in our lives where we take salvation and put it on. I like to think of it like that. We take salvation and we put it on. It becomes part of us. It is who we are from then on. That's how you be born again. You can be born with a new beginning. You can be born from above by saying, "Father, please forgive my sin and become Lord of my life." You pray in your own way, pray your own words,
right.
But you ask for forgiveness of sins and you accept His gift of salvation,
right.
And you believe on it.
That's right.
And I used to worry over my salvation. And I heard a preacher one night say, he gave his testimony how he got saved, and he said, if I go to hell now, I'll go trusting in the blood of Jesus. And something clicked in my brain that night, and I thought, God's not going to send anybody to hell trusting in the blood of Jesus. Well, that's very comforting for me to know. That's what I'm trusting in too.
Amen.
When should I be born again? When's a good time to bathe? Any Saturday night bathers in here? Anybody? No? That's always a joke in our house, but I don't think any of us actually ever do that. I mean, we do make sure our kids are clean on Saturday nights, but every other night too. We bathe when we're dirty, right? I'm not opposed to two or three or four times a day if I have to, if I'm just that dirty. You bathe when you're dirty. Do you believe me when I tell you the Bible says you're a sinner?
Yeah.
Believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that. If you told me that, it might hurt my feelings, but I believe you. Do you believe that do you believe the Bible that sinners will eternally be separate from God and burn in a lake of fire?
Yes.
I believe that.
That's right.
I want to point out something to you here in verse 12 as I close. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe me if I tell you heavenly things? Do you notice how Nicodemus came to Jesus? Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. He came in broad daylight. He didn't come with a big crowd, kind of secretly off to himself by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, it was a very flattering thing for Nicodemus to say. Most of the other Pharisees did not call Jesus a rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And otherwise he said, I have a lot of respect for you. You're a man sent from God. I know that God's blessing this, what you're doing. It's very flattering to him. Nicodemus wanted Jesus not to tell him, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus wanted the secrets. Nicodemus wanted Jesus to say, hey, here's what you got to do, Nicodemus. It's just this easy. Here's all the little secrets. If you'll do just this, you can have the same power I do. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're a sinner. And you just need to have your sin forgiven.
That's right.
That's the simpleness to it.
That's right.
And when we got down to it, I don't know if maybe Nicodemus was not taken to that or whatever, but we see in verse 12 where Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things, you won't believe not. Why should you believe me if I tell you heavenly things? It's a good time to bathe when you're dirty. It's a good time to get saved when you realize you're not.
Amen.
When you believe the Bible, when it says that you're a sinner, and you realize I'm a sinner, I'm not righteous, I'm not going to heaven. When you believe the Bible, that as a sinner, you won't be able to get into heaven and that you'll have to go to hell. It's a good time to be saved.
Amen.
If you believe the Bible for that, surely you'll believe this. The Word says exactly when to be born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today's not my day of salvation. Mine was March the 9th, 1994, about 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night. No doubt in my mind, that night I knew I needed to get saved then, right then. It was like I had just gotten dirty and I needed that bath. When the opportunity is here, that's the time to respond.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.